This is Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown. On this day of remembrance, as Americans seek ways to heal from the grief and find ways to protect ourselves from future violence, Peace Watch spent time with a Nobel Peace Prize nominee in hope of finding some answers. Vietnamese monk Thich Nhat Hanh is in Washington to host a peace retreat with congressional leaders and their families this weekend. Peace Watch sat with the Buddhist monk this morning, surrounded by his students in a Capitol Hill setting. We sought his wisdom in interpreting the tragic events and in coping with the violence that gripped this nation 2 years ago and continues to manifest throughout the world.
Nothing happened without a cause. There must have been a lot of anger, a lot of hate, a lot of violence resulted from a lot of wrong thinking, wrong perceptions. And when such an event happened, we should be able to have the time to ask why they have done such a thing to us. That question may be very helpful. Have we done something that made them suffer? Have we said something that made them think that we are trying to destroy them? Instead of being overwhelmed by anger, the willingness to, the desire to revenge, we should go back to ourselves and ask ourselves the question. And we may like to ask them, why you have done such a thing to us? You must have hated us a lot. You must be very angry at us. Why, please tell us, so that we can understand. This is the kind of things that should be done. I think in the last 2 years, the United States of America have not been able to bring the level of violence down, to reduce terrorism, and to diminish the number of terrorists. That is because the United States of America only think of dealing with terrorism with punishment. In fact, the level of hate has come up. The level of violence has come up. And the number of people who hate and who have become terrorists has become greater. And if we have the time to look deeply, we can see that. And that is why we have to, this anniversary should be an opportunity for us to pause and look deeply to see whether the course of action that we have taken is in the good direction. Reflection, deep looking can help us to see a path that can really lead to the decrease of violence and hate.
President Bush has launched this so-called war on terrorism, and he says it's intended to root out what he calls the evildoers around the world. But many see this as an impossible endeavor, an unrealistic one. What, in your opinion, would be a more effective approach to trying to end the cycle of violence and to apprehend those who would perpetrate violence against others? And can you address the aspect of using military might in such an equation?
You know, if you realize that military might has not brought about what we desire, we should look for other ways. I think there are things we should do. We should try to open communication in order to see what kind of perceptions the terrorists have of themselves and of the United States of America. And just by talking, by communicating, we will be able to see, recognize their perceptions. And it is very possible that we can help them to remove their perceptions so that the desire to hit, to destroy, to revenge will be removed together with these wrong perceptions. And this is something we can do.
The word terrorism and terrorists is used quite frequently in our language. How would you define a terrorist?
Terrorism is a sickness. When you are angry, you want to punish. And that is the root of terrorism. When you are punished, you suffer and you want to punish back. So terrorism is not only on their part, but on our part also because we want to punish, we want to revenge. So terrorism, responding to terrorism will bring more terrorism. This is a very plain, very simple, very clear. Using the military might is also, is by itself terrorism.
I'm wondering if you can share with us about your life growing up in Saigon, Vietnam, that led you to join the monkhood at age 16, Thich Nhat Hanh.
When I studied the history of Vietnam, I realized that there were periods of history when there was peace, and Buddhism did play a role in bringing peace to the people. That is why, as a young person, I had the conviction that if we practice Buddhism well, if we can explore the potentiality of Buddhism, and then we can help bring national independence, social justice to the people, remove political suppression. Why we have first the conviction that if South Vietnam felt that kind of thing of Iraq, the United States of America and her people can learn something. I think the only way out is to invest in the United Nations and to help it to become a real peace organization. Not trying to manipulate it for the American interest, but to really respect the United Nations as a real international body of all nations, a kind of family, and allow other countries to play an important role in the United Nations so that the United Nations will become a real body for peacekeeping. And if the United States of America handle the problem of Iraq, of Afghanistan, of the Middle East to that organization, and then the United States will have a chance to stop occupying Iraq and Afghanistan, and bring the young American men and women home. I think the best way to support the young Americans in Iraq and in Afghanistan is to bring them home.
President Bush would have to do what we call in this country eat crow, or humble himself to go to the UN and accomplish what you're suggesting. There are those who would question whether he would have the character to do that. Have you sought an audience with President Bush, and what has been the response, and what kind of advice would you give him at this point?
President Bush is surrounded by many advisors who are with him day and night, and if I have 1 hour talking to him, I don't think that 1 hour can help. I know that President Bush has the seed of awakening, understanding, and compassion in him. But so far, not many people have watered these beautiful seeds in him. You have elected him as your president. You should continue to support him by offering him your insight, your understanding, your compassion, and not just allow his advisors to do everything. You, as a journalist, as a filmmaker, as a school teacher, as parent, you have to do your job. You have to continue to support your president, because your president is supposed to carry out the wish of the people. And the people have to state their wish very clearly and very strongly. There should be a collective awakening in the country in order to stop the discourse of action. And each of us as a citizen has to help to bring about that collective awakening. Only a collective awakening can stop the course of destruction.
What would you suggest as a Buddhist monk to those peace-loving, peace-seeking activists here in the U.S. that are interested in trying to make a difference to raise the level of consciousness in this country to achieve that collective awakening in the midst of a world that is just awash in violence, domestic violence, violence in the Middle East, rapes, murders, arson? What is your advice? How do you maintain that level of consciousness?
We know that when we are at war with ourselves, it's very easy to start a war with another person. There's a lot of social injustice, discrimination, pain, division within the United States of America. There's a war within America. And that is why the basic thing is that America goes home to herself and observe and see the real situation, the level of violence in the country, in the society is very high. We see that there's a lot of violence and division in the family, a lot of violence in our school, a lot of violence on the streets, and not much is being done in order to reduce the violence in family and school. Our way of consuming is making us more and more craving, violent, and so on. I think there must be concrete ways in order to practice, in order to bring down, to decrease the level of violence in family and in school. You know that we have been trying to do that in our own capacity. We have offered many retreats of mindfulness a little bit where in the world, many countries in Europe, Asia, and even in North America. And in our retreats, couples, families are always able to heal, to transform, and to reconcile with each other. And we have invited Israeli groups of Israelis and Palestinians to come to our place, and their practice is very successful. Now the people who have come to Plum Village and practice, they can look at each other with the eyes of compassion. They work together in order to set up communities of practice in Israel so that other people can join them and practice so that they will suffer less and have hope for peace in the Middle East. So we know how to organize workshops and retreats for parents, for teachers, so that they can heal and they can bring back harmony and peace and love in their family. We can help organize the same kind of practice for school teachers, and school teachers are able to bring healing to their school. And school is our second chance if our family has been broken by violence. And if teachers and students know how to listen to each other, how to understand each other, they can heal and they can bring the healing back to their families. And I hope that people who take care of the work of education in the family and in the school in this country, we have the time to come together and discuss this. That those of us who can come and offer our experiences, our skills, in order to do so, it does not cost anything. And yet that is the basic thing for peace. And then in a practice, there is the practice of gentle, loving speech, the practice of compassionate listening in order to restore communication, to remove wrong perceptions so that reconciliation is possible. In a practice, there is the practice of consuming mindfully so that we will not bring toxins like craving, violence, despair into our body, into our consciousness, to protect ourselves, our family, and our society. There should be efforts to stop people to produce the kind of items of consumption that are highly toxic, that contain a lot of violence and craving. Many television programs, many items for entertainment. I think we have to practice as a nation in order to be able to realize that.
It also sounds like part of what you're saying is that the onus or the responsibility for healing the planet and the violence in the world lies heavily on the individual and healing himself or herself. Some people listening to this, however, might dismiss that. Can you give examples in history where a nonviolent course has borne fruit?
Well, nonviolence make you, help you not to suffer. Because when you have understanding and compassion in you, you don't have to suffer. If you suffer so much, you cannot do anything to help other people. If you have love, compassion, understanding in you, you can help another person. And you become two. And if you two can do the same thing, you become three and four and five. This is the way it must go. Peace always begins with ourselves. And on the national level, the nation is an individual nation, and that nation has to practice peace within herself, reconciliation within herself, before it can help to bring peace to another nation. I have said that if there is a war within ourselves, it's very easy for us to start another war with another person or another nation. So peace within ourselves, with peace within our country, is the foundation for peace in the world.
You were exiled from your country during the war in 1966. And now, even three decades later, after the war has ended, Vietnamese officials refused to allow you back into your country. Why is that, and how do you feel? How do you deal with that?
I understand why they don't allow me to go home. Because I'm a teacher, I am a writer that is appreciated by many in Vietnam. And they think if I say something against them, and a lot of people will follow me, and that will be not very safe for them as a government. My books, my talks in form of cassette tapes and CD are available in all countries except in Vietnam. But that does not prevent my friends in Vietnam to print and to duplicate these books and talks underground. So I feel that I'm very present in my own country. In the beginning, I suffered because I did not. I feel that I was really in exile. I dreamt of going home almost every night. But because of my practice, I have been able to realize that the whole planet is my home. I have learned to be friends with children and adults in Europe, in other continents. And I don't suffer now. I feel that I am present in my own country. My teaching is available, although underground, and many people continue to practice according to my teaching. I thought that maybe in the future we can organize retreats for Vietnam War veterans in Washington, in Hanoi. In Washington, American Vietnam War veterans will be invited, and we can invite Vietnamese Vietnam War veteran to come to practice together with in Washington, and if possible, we can propose such a retreat in Hanoi, and then I have a chance to go home doing the thing that is supported by both countries.
What an exciting and divine idea. Let's just hope that that will happen. I know that you are in Washington to hold a retreat for some lawmakers here in Washington. What goal do you have for that session? When is it, and what do you expect to come out of that?
The purpose of having a retreat for congressmen, congresswomen, is to help them to have more time for themselves, to release the tension in their body, in their feelings, to bring more joy into their lives so that they can relate better to their family, making their family into a base of operation so that they can serve better the people they want to serve.
Will you teach them to meditate if they don't already have that as a practice of their own?
Well, everyone can practice mindful breathing to go home to themselves and take care of their body and their feelings. Everyone can practice walking meditation to enjoy walking in this planet. Stop the thinking while walking so that they can heal and they can nourish themselves. You know that we have, last month, we offered a retreat for law enforcement people in a retreat in Madison, Wisconsin. There were many police officers, corrections officers, and others who came and practiced. And they did very well. That brought a change into their life. They can enjoy walking, they can enjoy breathing, so that they will suffer less. They can serve better the people they are supposed to serve.
When you're in the midst of incredible suffering and conflict and the sound of bombs are falling all about you in a deafening manner, how does one practice what you're suggesting and move into a peace of mind of nonviolence?
Despair is the worst thing that can happen to us. In order not to become the victim of despair, you have to practice taking care of the present moment. If you allow yourself to be afraid, to be worried about the future, and then you cannot handle the present moment. There are things that are happening in the here and the now. And if you know how to go home to the present moment and take care of these things the best way you can, and then you have peace. At least you can say that, well, I am doing my best. There's nothing more than I can do if I know that I am taking care of the present moment the best way I can. Why do I have to worry more about the future? Because worries will not help. And just by trying to invest yourself 100% in taking care of the present moment, you become free from despair.
Are there any final thoughts on your part, Thich Nhat Hanh, that you would like to share with our audience that may be listening to this conversation that will help to carry them through the times that we live in, or perhaps something from your vast body of writings or poetry?
The wonders of life are always there, within yourself and around you. With your eyes, you can get in touch with the paradise of forms and colors. You can step into that paradise in 1 second. Your heart is a wonder of life, keeping you alive. Your body is really a mystery. And if you are aware that you yourself is a miracle, is a wonder, and then you know how to cherish it, to be happy with it. And the blue sky, the beautiful mountains and rivers, the face of lovely children, they are all there for you in the present moment. And if you allow yourself to be carried away by your regret or your fear, you lose all these things. The kingdom of God is available. The pure land of the Buddha is available. And the problem is whether you are available to the kingdom, to the wonders of life that are really present. It is possible to be happy in the present moment. And that is what I like. I want my friends and my listeners to know. Let us not allow ourselves to be carried away by the fear, uncertainty about the future. Let us go home to the present moment and get in touch deeply with the wonders of life that are refreshing and healing. And then when we have happiness, we will see things more clearly. We'll be able to do something in order to assure a good future for ourselves and our children.
Nobel Peace Prize nominee Thich Nhat Hanh, Vietnamese Buddhist monk and peace activist. Pacifica's Peace Watch is produced in Washington, D.C. Our producer is Scott Gurian. Our editor is Lona Elias. Our engineer is T from the Pattersons taking the train to Tibet. I'm Verna Avery Brown, the executive producer. Thank you for listening.